Crack-a-lacka.
There's no arguing with the judge.
We are editing this entire segment out of the podcast.
I apologize. I will flagellate myself later.
I hope you come up with something good.
All right, this is going to go great.
How now, brown cow?
Red leather, yellow leather.
What's the haps?
What are the haps?
You're listening to A Little Nonsense, where the conversation is competitive and the ads aren't real. I'm your host and moderator, Joe Moracle, with me, as always, are the other two parts of our Triforce. Sean Keller, the Triforce of Courage.
Hi, Joe.
And Mike Pareto, the Triforce of Wisdom.
Joe, I suppose that means that makes you the last of the Triforces.
Which is what? We got courage and wisdom, and what are you, Joe?
By default, I'm the Triforce of Power, and Mike, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong with these assignments. I dare you to tell me I'm wrong.
Wait, why am I the Triforce of Courage? Because I say shit?
Partly because you're a stand-up comedian. It will just fucking go to the mic and just do whatever the fuck you want. And
well, yeah, to be fair, Sean, I could have either have been power or courage, but you could not be power, so I took power.
Why could I not be power?
Oh, come on, you know.
I will say it has nothing to do with physical strength.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, in fact, courage probably has more to do with physical strength than the Triforce of Power. But this is not a segment, so.
All right, at the top of the episode, we're going to me, and I have a question for the two of you. A bit of a hypothetical.
Ooh.
Sean, what is this question brought to us by?
Thanks, Joe. This question's brought to us by, you're dating my daughter cock watch for boyfriends. Let's face it, kids these days are way more disrespectful, and you're a father. You demand respect. That's why you're going to teach that little shit a lesson by strapping this crazy thing onto his dick. It looks just like an ordinary watch, right? Wrong. Before you tighten this thing around that little prick's pecker, you program an alarm to go off right at curfew. A courtesy alarm will sound 10 minutes before that. Oh, and he'd better be on his way back to your house by then, because when curfew hits, a spring-loaded guillotine is gonna lop that bastard's cock right off his scrawny little body. And if he tries to remove it, it explodes! Is that crazy? Fuck yeah, it is! You're a dad, and you've got a daughter. Just test me, Hunter. Test me! I fucking dare you, Hunter! I fucking dare you!
You're the only father of a daughter on the show.
Well, hopefully our demographic, maybe there's a father somewhere in there.
I'm definitely scared and don't want to date your daughter.
Yeah, I mean, we know that you're like an aggressive type A, you know, machismo.
Yeah, I'm a big jock.
Yeah, I mean, you're a toxic man. I mean, we understand that. We get it.
All right, guys, you can be inserted into the cast of any TV show, past or present.
Awesome.
You will be a part of the main cast, but you do not gain any specialized skills or abilities that are not required to exist in that universe. What show do you put yourself into?
Are we being inserted as, like, I'm going to be acting in this show? Or, like, this is my life now? Like, I'm in the universe?
You know, I thought you were going to ask that question, Sean, which is why only for you, I'm going to say both.
Okay.
Wait, what?
I want to hear Sean's answer if he could be in acting in the cast of a show, but also if that's going to be his life. I want two answers from Sean.
For me, which is it, though?
It's your life.
It is my life now?
Yes, it's your life and it's my life.
And it's a show and I gotta insert myself
into it. I'll give both answers too. But for you, Mike, it's your life.
It's just my life. Sean.
Yeah. You know what, the very first thing that popped into my head and I feel like is where my heart's at is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's
strong choice.
That
first
show,
of all, which answer is this?
Well, this is, it's both, really. I feel like
these guys, so It's Always Sunny is essentially an R-rated Seinfeld. Like, if we're being honest, it's really, you've got a group of protagonists who are very unlikable. They're really awful people.
It's a slice of life show.
It is, yeah. But so I feel like to act in that show comedically, it would be a fucking dream come true to be able to play in that playground that they've created. But also to live in that world, I mean, you're working in a bar in Boston, and you basically anything you say and do, according to the show, has zero repercussions. So it's like,
that is true.
So you can just be a horrible person and be drunk all the time. And like, it's just fucking hilarious and amazing.
You know, I gotta say this, Sean, for at least the acting component, I would watch the fuck out of any scene between you and Glenn Howerton and Charlie Day.
Yes. Oh my God.
That would be amazing.
Those guys are so fucking funny. And all of them are fucking funny.
Oh, all of them are amazing, but I could just see you playing off of Glenn and Charlie specifically.
Yes. Well, I appreciate that.
That would be
yeah.
so good.
It would be. I'm confident it would be. It would be fucking hilarious.
I would
hilarious.
Just have that playing on my TV on a loop.
Yeah. I think that's where I would go. I don't even want to waste time thinking about, oh, I could go into, you know, Battlestar Galactica or Star Trek sure. Voyager. You know, those would be
Battlestar
fun.
Battlestar Galactica is a horrible choice. That's a terrible universe.
Those
to
are
put
both
yourself
like
in.
Doom and gloom, horrible situations to be in.
But I'm saying, I you know, I don't even want to flirt with some fantastical TV like The Witcher or something. I just, you know what? Let me go to It's Always Sunny, and I'm going to have a fucking blast. And I can say and do whatever I want to. It's hilarious. And it just sounds like heaven to me. Comedic heaven.
I think that's a great answer and totally fits you.
Well, thank you.
Mike, what show would you want to live in as a main cast member?
As a main cast member, boy, that... So I have a couple of approaches to this, but the first one is...
Teletubbies. Mike wants to be the Dinky Winky.
Tinky Winky. Tinky Winky.
Tinky Winky already exists. You're Dinky Winky.
That's right.
So you're saying I have to be a new cast member. I'm sorry, I missed that point.
Yeah, yes. You can't just take over somebody's role.
You're absolutely you, but you're also in the cast of that show.
Well, God, that's so tough because I want to be on Lost so badly.
Ooh.
But I know that my chances of living very long are so bad. Like,
yeah, I mean,
so
main
bad.
Cast members in Lost have almost no plot armor protecting them.
Yeah, that's tough.
You know, outside of like the big three or four, everyone is up for grabs. It's like saying Game of Thrones. You wouldn't want Game of Thrones for your universe. It's a great show up through most of the seasons.
Unless Kate or Shannon wants to fuck you, you're dead, man.
Even then, Saeed doesn't fare all that great, so...
Yeah, no.
But he lasts for a good four
he
seasons,
does.
Right?
He does.
He's there a while.
But I have to think about... Okay, so basically every main cast member, like, there's... Nobody lives longer than, what is it, like, 3 years? I mean...
Or do they ever live at all, Mike?
Well, I mean, they certainly...
They were already dead.
I'll be honest with you. I would still... I don't care if I get 1 day or 108 days on the island.
Nice reference.
I would still do it. That's where I want to go.
You just go to Hawaii. Why do you need to go to that show?
Because it's not the same, Sean. You know the island is a thing. It's a thing.
Okay, all right. So your eyesight would be slightly better,
place.
And you'd see a smoke snake.
Yeah.
I can understand if you were, like, you know, paralyzed or something, and you're like, I want to go to the island, but, like, you're fine. Like, medically, you're fine. Why do you need to go to the island so bad?
Well, the island is not, it's not just an island that gives you, that heals you. That's not all it is. It's a fucking awesome place. It's got a crazy history. It's like a fantasy fucking island. It's awesome.
What's so awesome? You're going to go there and you're going to find like a hatch and see like, oh, here's computers from 40 years ago. Like, what exactly, why can't you wait to go there?
I should add that the first half of my dream life is just living on a paradise island. So, like, just chilling on a beach is my definition of fucking awesome. So
move to Florida.
The show Lost, Sean, is not just about, here's a picture of a fucking island, okay? Are we just excluding everything else that happens?
Or, so you want to be in Hawaii, but also there's a polar bear, and like people are trying to kill you the whole time? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's a simplified version of it, yeah. I think it'd be a good time, okay? It'd be a good last 3 days of my life, all right?
My name is Henry Gale.
So, hold up. Mike, you want to live as a plane crash survivor on an island?
You did say that I was one of the main characters, so I
absolutely did, but that still means that your life is plane crash survivor marooned on an island.
Yeah, I think that's pretty great. I actually do. I know it sounds horrible because it really is circumstantially terrible, but...
Circumstantially? It's a goddamn nightmare.
I get it, but...
The island is magical. I mean, that's not the
point. Even that is not the point. When that happens to you, all of a sudden, and this is the point of the show, you start over. Like, you have this fresh start.
Right.
And it's the only thing that matters is your survival, and your priorities are really clear. And I don't know. It's just something about it. It's like really cathartic.
Surviving a plane crash is fucking miraculous. You know, like that. That's for sure. That's a big deal. So I can get that, I guess. But like, if you like the island life, just fucking.
Clearly, I wouldn't have chosen Lost if it were just. Oh, I just want to hang out on a fucking tropical island for the rest of my life. Any island, anywhere, no problem.
Where are you going, Joe?
Well, I said I would give both answers as you did, and I will. If it's my life, I'm going to go with Star Trek The Next Generation.
I was thinking you were going to say Doctor Who.
Doctor Who is strong, but even main cast members don't have complete plot armor unless you're the Doctor, which I wouldn't be.
Okay, so you're going to Next Generation, and you're going to be on the bridge with Picard.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, you don't have to be on the Enterprise at all. Well, I guess you do because it's
you
the
don't
show,
have to.
So, yeah.
But if you're the main
well,
character,
if I'm a main cast member, I'm gonna replace like one of the unnamed characters on the bridge, probably off to the left side of the bridge. You know, as you're looking from the main viewer, that are just there taking up space. I would become a named character.
Isn't that Ro? Isn't that Ro at the end of the series?
Well, it's Ro at points, but she also ran the con at other points.
That's
she
true.
Moved around, and she wasn't on very long.
Yeah, no, it was like 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's hot, though. She's really hot.
I can't wait to edit this whole segment out of the podcast.
God damn it. We have to keep some Star Trek in here.
So, Ro, yeah, Ro's on the right side. Yeah,
we're going to
have
fans in the future.
She's a Bajoran, Sean. So I would, if I'm living there, I'm choosing Star Trek The Next Generation because, you know, I've got the plot armor that's protecting me from dying. Mm. I'm not going to be a Denise Crosby.
Because why? Why would you not be a Denise Crosby?
Because I'm not going to leave the show.
But she was a main cast member.
Who left the show?
Yeah, but, okay, so you're just going to...
Nobody that didn't leave the show died.
Yeah, that's true. You would have to choose to die, basically.
Yeah, even some of the ones that did leave did not die, e.g., Wesley Crusher.
So wait, so you had 2 answers, Joe. So that was your to live. What would be your to perform?
If I am being added to the cast as an actor, I'm going to go with Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's a great, great choice. I really thought about that before I chose Always Sunny.
That's almost like documentary style, though. I mean, it's mockumentary, but...
But Curb really is, if I were to say R-rated Seinfeld, that really is Curb.
It's R-rated Seinfeld that would let me flex improv.
Yes.
God, that's a good fucking show.
Bomp, bomp, bomp.
Yeah, how many times am I going to have to ring this goddamn bell before you all shut the fuck up?
Who got the point?
I don't even know.
Mike did.
What? Ooh. Why? What? Yeah. What did they even say? Jesus.
I don't know. You were talking when I rang it. I don't remember what you said because I'm drunk.
Fuck you.
All right, next we're going to Sean.
Haha. Hey, I want to give you guys a choice.
I like choices.
Yeah.
I like my decisions to be made for me.
We're going to go with something that is something personal.
But before we get to any of that, Mike, what is this brought to us by?
This segment is brought to us tonight by Horse Hair Shirts. Are you a horrible sinner? Well, that's okay. That's just fine, because pay penance with a horsehair shirt. Our patented design is guaranteed to be the absolute most uncomfortable thing imaginable. Suffer endlessly in itchy agony for as long as your Catholic guilt demands with a horsehair shirt from Fogler.
Oh no. And also by
Jergens Off. That's right. A moisturizer and insect repellent in one. Jergens Off is unscented and perfect for keeping bugs away from your penis. Rub liberally for several minutes onto your penis multiple times daily to keep those darn mosquitoes away. It's the perfect excuse for applying lotion to your erect penis. Why, sometimes you've just got to Jergens Off. Back to you.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
All right, we're going to talk about something personal. This is a segment that I would like to call The Curious Case of Sean's Enormous Balls.
Okay.
Mike, did you hear that? The Curious Case of Sean's Enormous Balls.
I did hear that, yes.
Just a few days ago, I had a very weird occurrence where I was sitting on the couch and all of a sudden I went down to scratch my balls and I noticed that they were enormous.
What?
Particularly the testicular sac was at least twice the size that normally it had been.
The last time Sean had observed his balls was in 1989.
No. I observed them most every night.
Oh, I see.
So I reach down and I go, oh my God, my why are my balls enormous? So I go to the bathroom.
Catherine, my 15-year-old wife, come look at my giant balls.
I tell Catherine, I say, hey, sweetie, am I crazy or are my balls enormous? and I go to the bathroom and I'm looking at them and I'm feeling them. And hey, wouldn't you know it? My testicular sac is enormous.
That's not good.
It's not good, right? So I start looking up online because Catherine, my beautiful wife, she's like, should we go to the emergency room? I was like, I don't think so. No, let's. I feel like let's like look on the internet. That'll be the best thing to do.
My balls are huge. We should fuck.
So I look on the internet. And there's like six or seven things that, you know, fall under the category of, hey, my balls just got huge all of a sudden. So I find there's one thing. There's.
I'm sorry.
hang on. So there's one thing. So there's one thing that I look at it, I'm like, hey, you know what? I think this is it. I think this might be it. This describes exactly how I'm feeling. And I start reading the thing, and it says, yeah, you'll return to normal. Within 6 months. And I was like, what? I was like, wait a second.
God, that's such a long time.
I was like, my balls are going to be enormous for 6 months? That's way too long. So I said, you know what? I'm going to sleep on this. Because there's no pain. You know, it's just like,
hey. Was this your huge balls? Were you going to sleep on your huge balls?
What the fuck was it?
Hey, wait a second. Hang on. So I said, you know what? Let's sleep on it. I'll wake up tomorrow, and then we'll see what happens. So I go to sleep, and wake up in the morning, and wouldn't you know it, my balls are still enormous. So I go to work, and like... And halfway through the day, I reach down and I feel, and my balls are pretty much back to normal. Like, they're like basically back to normal.
But it hasn't been anywhere near 6 months.
No, it's literally been like, you know, 6 hours. And so by the end of that night, my balls were back to normal. And so here's the thing. So the category is called The Curious Case of Sean's Enormous Balls. What I want to talk to you guys about is I feel like everyone in the world has some sort of weird medical issue that happens to them that might not happen to other people. I want to hear about what are the weirdest things that have happened to your bodies that you've ever experienced, because you guys are middle-aged dudes now. It's not like you're you know, young teenagers. So surely
have we hit middle age, Mike?
Yeah, of course you have. I mean,
well,
Jesus,
you and I have, but Sean is still lagging behind a little bit.
Oh, I see.
Everyone has some sort of weird thing. Like, hey, I woke up one day, I was watching Stranger Things one day, and I had enormous balls. So like, what happened to you guys? Surely something happened to you guys.
I guess everybody's had, maybe, hopefully, had something that's kind of weird.
Yes, something that is, like, you know, benign, but it happened, and it's like, what fuck was that about?
I'll tell you mine, but it's super gross.
Hey, that's what we're here for.
Everybody wants to hear that shit.
Three times in my life, I have had an abscess on my body somewhere.
Okay.
Now, for those that don't know, an abscess is like a pimple that's really deep under the skin that you can't pop, that just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
This is not, you're not talking about a cyst, you're talking about an abscess?
No, this is an abscess. I've had three abscesses on my body over the years, and, you know, those are kind of like pimples that just keep getting bigger and bigger. They're infections under the skin, and pus just collects there, pus and blood, and they're incredibly painful. Now, one of them, and this was very recent, both of you probably know of this, I went to the ER to have it lanced and drained.
Yes, I remember you telling us
that's
about
right,
that.
Yeah.
Yes, that one was on my abdomen. It fucking sucked.
God.
But... Mike might know, but Sean, you definitely don't know this. The two that I had prior in my life, I lanced myself.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, bitch.
Were those not on your abdomen, I'm guessing?
One of them was. The other one was on my thigh.
Oh, Christ.
That takes courage.
The way I did it was by numbing the skin with an ice cube.
Okay.
And then I took a safety pin that I had left soaking in isopropyl alcohol and then pushed it into my leg or abdomen, depending on which time it was.
Oh, God.
Until I got into the meat of the abscess and then could just squeeze pus and blood out of my body.
No.
This is horrible.
I know. Mike, what's yours?
It's horrible.
Move on.
One of those abscesses I lanced while I was your roommate.
I remember you told me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was easily 3 or 4 tablespoons of blood and pus that just squirted into the sink.
Why are you using baking terms? Why are you using tablespoons?
I love how Sean's is like, oh, my balls got huge for a short time, and it was pretty weird, you know?
And I'm telling you, my abdomen became a super soaker of pus and blood.
What is your weird medical issue, Mike?
The funniest thing that happened to me, I was leaving my house. This was back when I lived in And I was leaving my house, and I was opening the garage door to get to my car, and I was immediately, like the moment that I opened the garage door, I was immediately stung by a wasp.
Oh, God.
Right on my ear. Right on my right.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to say dick.
That'd be weird. Wow.
He was naked. He was just nakedly opening his garage door.
It stung me.
He was in my mind.
It stung me right on my right ear. And it hurt pretty bad, but I was like, okay, well, you know, I've been stung before. So I drove to work. It took me like a fucking hour to get to work. By the time I'm at work, my ear is big. It's like twice the size of a normal ear.
Too big, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, it was too big. I had too big ear syndrome at the time. So I sat down on my desk, and like, you know, at the time I was calling, I had to wear a headset, and I was dialing people and calling people, and it just kept getting bigger, and like, it started leaking shit, you know, like,
oh god.
And I have my hand like over my head, and I walk very quickly to the bathroom, and I look in the mirror, and I'm like, I look like fucking what's that cartoon with the guy that his head is a football shape? Arnold. Hey, Arnold.
Arnold.
I look like Hey Arnold on one side of my head. It's like literally an inch swollen.
Jesus.
And so I go to my boss. I'm like, hey, so look at my face. Like, I have to go. I gotta leave because apparently I'm like super allergic to this fucking wasp. It was the most painful thing. And so I had to leave. I had to go to the doctor. I went straight to the doctor an hour away to get treated. And she had to pop it. And all this fucking goop
she
came
had to
out.
Pop your face?
There was a bunch of liquid.
That explains it.
Yeah, yeah. Stored inside of my face, like on the right side. And she literally had to cut my ear open and shit and like leak.
Sure, you gotta
drain.
Oh my
god, that was awful.
Yeah. Joe, hit me with a point, because I know this was a weird one. This was a weird one. There it is. Oh, yeah.
You know what? I'm revoking that point because it was a bad ring. There we go.
That was the curious case of my enormous balls.
All right. Well, we're going to just wipe that away and go to Mike, who will hopefully cleanse all of our mental palates.
I hope so. I have a game.
Ooh,
hell yeah.
Yeah. Joe, who is this game brought to us by?
It can be difficult to assert yourself as an individual. How does one say, I am me, and this is who I am? Obsidian Body Piercing will turn your body into art that's uniquely you. No one will doubt that you're in control of your own destiny when you get one or both of your nipples pierced. Let's face facts. Unadorned nipples are boring and downright unsightly. Pierce your pecs and bling out your boobs at Obsidian Body Piercing. All summer long, Obsidian will be running a special deal. Buy one nipple piercing and get the other pierced free. Obsidian Body Piercing, where the motto is, we only do nipples. Find them online at pimpmynips.com. Back to you, Mike.
Interesting niche there. Just
my
the
nips.
Nipples.
Yeah.
Just the nips.
Wonder why.
Well, you know, because they're the nips.
Yeah, that doesn't answer the question at all. It begs
I
more
like
questions.
I answered it quite perfectly.
The fine people at Obsidian just want your nipples to look amazing.
All right. Well, thank you, Obsidian, for sponsoring this wonderful game.
Why would they sponsor this?
I think you'll find out shortly.
Great.
It's a pretty straightforward game. The game is called, Are You Disappointed in Humanity Yet? That's right. So we've so you're already you started disappointed. That's good. You'll probably do well then, because I've got 11 questions from two nationally recognized surveys, including the American Council of Trustees and Alumni and the National Science Foundation. Okay.
All right.
These are questions that people should get right. And yet, lots of them don't.
All right.
They tend to be science and history related questions. I stuck to Americans. Although I looked at the global data for a lot of these questions, and it was not better. So,
sure.
We'll start on that high note.
Let's do it.
All right. So, what we're going to do, you're gonna give your guess at the percentage of Americans who answered the question correctly or incorrectly, depending on the phrasing of the question.
And do we have to buzz in? Do we have to go to the buzz in website?
No. Whoever, you're each going to get a chance to answer. Whoever answers the closest to the correct percentage gets the point for the question.
Understood.
Okay.
All right,
great.
So the first question is, what percentage of Americans believe that humans are the product of evolution?
I'm going to say 46%.
All right, and Joe?
I'm going to Price is Right it and say 47%.
Fuck you.
I will say that you guys... I'm going to give Sean most of the credit because you're very close. The answer is 48%.
Oh, yeah! Come on!
And so
Joe
does,
that's
in fact...
That's fucking bullshit.
Sean set the bar there, but Joe does, in fact, win that particular question.
That's such bullshit.
Horrible, horrible results on that question. Next question. What percentage of Americans are aware of the fact that antibiotics do not kill viruses? Sean.
But you you give it to Joe so I can price this right.
Okay, all right, Joe.
35%.
I'm going to say 34%.
Son of a bitch.
Wow, okay, in this case, you guys are very not optimistic,
unfortunately. No. No, we're not.
But it is only 51%, which means... Again,
oh my God, that is way higher than I thought it would be.
That's good.
Same.
You're not that disappointed yet in humanity, at least for this question.
I know so many people who talk about getting Z-packs for the cold.
Yeah.
That it just made my mind pop.
Maybe they just lied. Who knows?
Damn.
Next question. What percentage of Americans do not know that the Earth revolves around the sun?
Oh my God!
Oh God!
Yeah, these actually get a little worse as it goes on. Sean.
All right, Americans do not know the Earth revolves around the sun. I'm gonna say 14%.
All right, God, and Joe.
So 14. You're saying 14% of Americans
do not understand,
do not know that the Earth revolves around the sun.
That's way too high. It should be too high, but I don't think it is.
It should be too high,
but it's not.
Based on the resurgence in flat earthing, I'm going to say 15%.
Come on.
Why do you guys have to do this every time
Get lower.
The correct answer is 26%.
No!
26% of Americans.
That's insane.
It is
way too high.
It's awful.
Come
Are you losing faith in humanity yet?
I've already lost it. Oh, shit.
Mike, and to answer your question... The reason we're doing this is because there's two of us, and both of us like to win games.
I get it.
But that's so... Oh, that number is so high. That's so bad.
I'm gonna ask more science-related question, then we'll move on to history questions. What percentage of Americans do not know that the sun is a star?
Jesus Christ.
Sean, let's go with you first.
Joe gets it.
All right, Joe. Yeah, we're going to alternate.
Yeah,
good point.
He's right. It's my turn. The percentage of Americans that do not know that the sun
is a star.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 20%.
20%. Okay, Sean. That's...
I'm gonna say 21%.
God damn it! Yeah, you guys. I understand your desire to win games, but I'd like you to try to get close to the answer if you can.
I would honestly say it's like 8%.
All right, well,
in this
it's 21%.
I'm
going to
say
20.
Yes, 21.
Then in that case, you win because
yes.
Oh God!
It is 45%.
Oh my God! No.
It is 45%.
No, Mike, where did these numbers come from again?
So I've got two studies here. One of them is the American Council of Trustees and Alumni, which tends to be the history questions, and the National Science Foundation, which tends to be the science questions.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's so fucking sad.
That's so high.
It's really bad. Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, my God.
Did they ask people what they thought the sun was?
Presumably they did not, because it was just a survey, so...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Are we
getting there yet, guys? Are you guys disappointed yet in humanity?
I started there.
All right. Well, you did, so you're gonna you're in a bad situation now. Let's go to some history questions.
Yes. Yeah, let's do that. All right.
So... let's pay attention specifically to how this question is phrased, because I'm still referring to Americans, okay? But I'm going to isolate these next two questions to a specific generation, okay? What percentage of generations Y and Z, which would be millennials and forward, are unaware of the existence of the death camps in Auschwitz during the Nazi occupation of Poland?
Oh, God.
What percentage of them are unaware?
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Of the existence of the death camps in Auschwitz during the Nazi occupation? Sean?
44%.
All right. And Joe?
That's so sad. I hope it's not that high. I really hope it's not that high.
I mean, it's got to be less. I got to go 43.
I hope it's less. I really hope Joe wins this.
I wish that he would have won also.
Oh my God!
The answer is much worse than either of you imagined.
Oh no!
It is 66%.
What?
Holy shit!
That's right. I'm gonna do a follow-up question.
Holy fucking shit!
Yeah.
No! There's no way.
Yeah. There's a way. Unfortunately.
Oh my God.
You know what? No, real quick. There is an 18-year-old at work currently. He's just there for the summer. I'm asking him Monday.
You should do it. Just ask him.
Oh my God.
What is significant about Auschwitz? And see what he says. All right, so the follow-up question to that is very significant. Very, very significant. Maybe the most significant question.
Okay.
Here. What percentage of the same generations, Y and Z, are unaware that the Holocaust happened at all? Joe.
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. If 60%... Oh, fuck. Oh, my God.
Joe goes first, though, here, this time.
Mike, I gotta say, before I answer this question, as depressing as this is, well done on the game side.
Thank you. Thank you.
What percentage of those generations is unaware that the Holocaust happened at all?
That's correct.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Given that other answer, I'm going to say 40%.
Okay.
I'm going to price his right his ass, but I'm so confident that he's wrong. I'm going to say 45%. I feel like I feel like it's in the 50 to 60s. I'm so...
There's no way.
You know, I hope you're right. I think you're less...
You're certainly more disappointed in humanity, Sean. That's true.
I hope you're right, Joe. I really hope you're right. I'm so disappointed in humanity.
The beauty is that as you go on, you get more disappointed, so your answers are just more and more ridiculous. But Joe is actually fortunately correct in this situation. With his answer, 40%.
Yes.
The correct answer is still very high, unnecessarily high, 22%. of generations Y and Z are just completely unaware that the Holocaust happened.
That actually, that makes me feel a little bit better, and it really should not.
It's because that's still way really too bad. High. Yeah, it's still really still bad.
Way too high. But
what the hell are they teaching in schools?
Good question. Good question. So let's go with specifically some American history now.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so what percentage of Americans do not know the century, not even the specific date range, during which the American Revolution took place? Sean?
64%.
All right, Sean. And Joe?
Oh, my God.
Do not even know the century. Can't identify the century during which the American Revolution took place.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. People are, for the most part, kind of dumb. And the sort of offset in the beginning of the year with the century, that throws a strangely high number of people off.
It sure does.
For the benefit of our listeners, the American Revolution happened in the 18th century.
Yes.
Sean, what was your answer?
64%.
64%. I'm feeling kind of sporting right now because I'm fairly drunk, so I'm going to abandon the Price is Right strategy.
Ooh.
And I'm going to go 40%.
Ooh, wow. That's pretty
optimistic, Joe. You're very optimistic.
It is.
That's
it
a big
is.
Disparity and between the two.
I wanted to create a nice spread between Sean and I.
Fair enough.
What do you got, Mike?
Unfortunately, Sean is very correct here because he is within 2 percentage points of the correct answer.
Shut up.
Which is 66%.
Oh, God.
Of Americans do not know the century.
66.
I don't want to be so right. I don't want to be
so
that right.
So sad. It really is.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
and God. Related to that question, I have a follow-up question. What percentage of Americans believe that the Civil War took place prior to the American Revolution?
No!
Yep, that's an actual question.
No.
It is.
Oh, come on. No,
what
no.
percentage of Americans, Joe, believe the Civil War took place prior to the American Revolution?
No way.
Yep. They exist.
God damn it. 15%.
All right, 15%. Sean?
I'm going to go with 14.5%.
God, you guys, you're so optimistic about this one. I'm so happy. So proud of you guys.
There's no way that many people thought
the
that.
Correct
there's
answer,
no way.
Unfortunately, is 50%.
Oh, my 50? God! What?
No!
The correct answer is 50%. People
Joe,
do not have
any
idea.
You should be happy. Joe, you got the point.
Sean, I'm nowhere close to happy right now.
Joe is
so
apparently
bad.
Currently less disappointed in humanity than... actually, no, I'm sorry, more disappointed in humanity.
Yeah,
50% think that the war that divided the country happened before the country.
Yes, the that's fact so, of the matter is that very few Americans actually know anything about American history at all. That's the
God
obvious answer. So now we're going to move on to...
You know what? It makes sense because people had to watch a musical about Alexander Hamilton just to know who the fuck he is.
That's true. You're right. And they still don't know. So
oh my God,
we've got,
this guy's on the $10 bill?
We've got two more questions remaining. They're both American history questions. They're both worth 2 points this time. You're currently we're sitting at Joe 5, Sean 3. Okay, so there is a chance with the next question for you to catch up, Sean.
Let's Wait, do what it. Are we yeah. doing now?
We're continuing the game, but it's still American history questions. But the questions are worth 2 points. There's two more questions, and
got it.
These questions are targeted at American college graduates. Okay, so we're talking about people with an associate's degree or higher.
Oh,
okay?
God. You're only doing this because it's so much worse than what we heard before.
It's very important that we're talking about educated people in terms of their post-secondary.
But clearly educated is in quotes now.
We'll see. First question, what percentage of American college graduates, so associate's degree and higher, by the way, this includes higher than associate's degree, can correctly identify the purpose of the Emancipation Proclamation?
I would just like to point out to everyone that I do not have a college degree, and this number is no doubt going to bum me the fuck out.
I have no doubt. Okay, so what are we? We're doing Sean first this time, I believe.
I'm going to say 39%.
All right, Sean, 39%. Sean, or Sean again. Joe.
39.
God damn it. I gotta play it optimistically and Price is Right it and go 38.
38% is actually less optimistic, but I will take your answer.
Oh, I thought you said didn't know.
Yes. What percentage of college graduates can correctly identify the purpose of the Emancipation Proclamation? So do you want to change your answer there?
I mean, I should, but no, I'm locked in.
Okay, well, if you're locked in, then Sean wins because the correct answer is...
Thank fuck.
No, I'm sorry.
What? What do you mean you're sorry?
I got confused because I switched back and forth in my brain here.
No.
No, Joe actually wins.
No, you son of a bitch!
Wait, okay... Mike,
we're gonna start that
part
over.
What percentage of college students, college graduates, do not know the can correctly state the function of the Emancipation Proclamation?
The correct answer is 19%.
Oh my God!
Lee!
Oh my God! Oh my God! Come on!
That's right. 19.19%.
Oh my God!
Yeah. So that
fucking hell.
That should pretty much solidify your disappointment in humanity right there. So I'm afraid Joe wins with a score of 7-3.
Which colleges did they graduate from? Are these, you know, is it all University of Phoenix Online?
I probably could have dug deeper, but I didn't get that. Yeah, I didn't get that. I'm assuming that, like, any good poll will take a sample from lots of different sources.
Mike, there is nothing good about these polls.
That was probably the most depressing category we've ever had.
That was the most depressing and disturbing segment, and I'm including the one where Sean made us consider fucking our mothers.
It does entice people. I hope, please, God, just support education. Support education. And again, I had data for the scientific questions. I didn't have data for a lot of the history questions, but international results for the scientific questions were not better, surprisingly, than the American respondents. So,
that is the worst.
So I think we can safely say disappointed in humanity.
Disappointed.
Yeah, I am beside myself with disappointment, for sure.
So just ask strangers, what's the sun? What is that?
What is that? Is that a star? That's crazy.
No, don't even suggest it. Just say, what is the sun? What is that?
What's the sun?
Well, it's the chariot of the god Apollo dragging it through the sky.
You can't give them hints. That's the point. To ask a good question, you cannot give them any hints at all. It's like, is the sun? I've been curious about that for years. What is that?
Mike, you know, I don't know if this is a title you wanted, but you've created the most depressing game that we've ever had on this podcast.
Excellent. 25 points.
Oh, holy crap.
Oh, shit.
Next, we are going to me, and I have just a question for the two of you. It's a bit hypothetical, but, you know, not really. Well, kind of. What is this hypothetical kind of but not really question brought to us by Sean?
They said that the rain washed him out.
Oh no.
They were wrong. Morgan Freeman is the president.
People of America, today our nation faces the greatest crisis it has faced in millions and millions of years.
Richard Dreyfuss as the cranky old spider expert.
These bite marks indicate the frenzied feeding of a large arachnid.
Christopher Walken as the balloon salesman.
Hi. I'm a balloon salesman. Was wondering if you'd be interested in purchasing some of my wares. A balloon, perhaps, maybe one in the shape of a spider.
Jeff Goldblum as the wacky doctor of alternative medicine.
Yeah, it's these spiders. I have a very different feeding styles.
And Sean Connery as the voice of Itsy Bitsy.
I'm a goddamn spider. I'm going to eat your body.
Spider Day. Rated R for Spite R.
Thanks, Sean.
Ooh, Spider Day.
All right. Gentlemen, if every job in the world paid the same amount of money, what would you want to do?
For me, I would be a zoologist. I would work at a zoo with animals.
Jesus, really?
Abso-fucking-lutely I would, in a heartbeat.
All right.
Work at a zoo. Or, I mean, similarly, you know, maybe be a game warden or something. But
why did you pursue English instead
that's
of,
a great
you know,
question.
Zoology?
You know, it really is a good question, because when I was a child, like 9 years old, I told my teachers I wanted to be a biologist and study animals, specifically in my case, marine animals. So I wanted to be a marine biologist. And I just completely gave up on that because school basically taught me that that was dumb as fuck. And that I could never, never do that shit for a living. I'm not even kidding. Like they're like, no, you can't do that. And of course, so I started to focus mostly on things that they said mattered. And so I actually went into engineering out of high school because that's what you had to do, and hated it, and just said, no, fuck it, I'm gonna do English. So that's why I ended up here with English, but. What I really would have wanted to do is work with fucking animals. I love animals.
What a depressing commentary on the school system that you grew up in.
Oh my God, it really is. It's really disappointing. And I kind of understand it.
Children, don't follow your dreams, because your dreams are bullshit. You need to be able to build bridges and shit.
I kind of see the value of it. You know, like, I think it has to be better targeted. Like, I think that most students should probably do things, related to contributing to society in some way.
Most students should not be engineers, though. I don't want to drive across a bridge built by most people.
Sure, but...
That would be awful.
The only reason I went into engineering is because I was a very good... student in mathematics and science.
Sure.
So it was a path for me that they'd really push me to do. Like almost literally, you know. I mean, it was really they were kind of pushing me into this window, and I tried it and I just fucking hated it, and I for a while didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do, so I just. You know, I took some classes here and there and kind of was inspired by English and went that route. But, yeah, dude, I love working with animals. I'd love to work at a zoo. I would do anything just to take care of animals. at a zoo. or again, like a game warden. I don't want to be a vet. I don't want to deal with animals like fucking getting diseased.
You don't want to be a game warden. They like have to shoot animals, don't they?
They do sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Well, I would, you know, if it's the thing that needs to be done, if it's a merciful thing, you know. The advantage of being a game warden or a ranger or something is you have a lot of natural terrain that you're dealing with, and a lot of you're just a natural environment, you know. So I think that has a lot of appeal, and you get to teach people about the environment, about the animals, about the ecosystem, and everything. That'd be great. I would love that. The zoo is cool just because you get to deal with so many exotic animals, you know. And again, you rarely have to put anything down as a zoologist at a zoo. But yeah, I would fucking love to work with animals.
All right. Sean, you've had a significant amount of time. What would you do if every job paid the same?
I'd be a joke writer. That's the short answer. Whether that means contributing towards somebody else's show or being, you know, the writer for my own show, I want to write jokes and I want to make people laugh. And if I could get paid a living wage to do that, that would be tremendous.
That's a solid choice, and I think it speaks well of you that it's, you know, very much related to things you do already.
Yeah, well, I mean, I try. You know, I really feel...
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You try, but you have to have a day job because not everything pays the same.
Could you explain to me, Joe, what you mean when you say that it's related to what he does now for a living? We're talking about making a living, right?
No, I didn't mean it's related to what he does now for a living. I mean it's related to things he does now.
Oh, sure, yeah, and things that I do now. I try to animals are attracted to me. They come to me. I summon wildlife.
Yeah, that really me. Isn't what the wildlife does isn't what you're doing.
No. No, I spend as much time as I can outdoors, and I do explore, and I try to, you know, from a kid, I just always tried to encounter and interact with as many animals as I possibly could, and I've been doing that for my entire life. So I think that a lot of the reason that we have this notion that I encounter more wildlife than you is just because I see it and you don't. And it's not because it's not there. It's because I'm looking at it. I'm looking for it. I know how to identify it because that's a passion of mine.
Well, also, I live in Chicago, so it's also yes, not indeed. There.
That's true. Yeah, you did spend.
Unless it's a rat, a squirrel, or a crow, or a pigeon, it's not.
I have seen coyotes in downtown Chicago.
Ooh.
I once saw a deer in Jefferson Park.
There you go.
But that's about it.
Jeff Park. It's a good place.
Not that anyone asked me, but my job.
Well, I figured you were going to answer it. Paid the same. You have to answer your
own. Well, it's just polite to ask.
Yeah, Mike.
Joe,
Mike, you're such a monster.
What would your ideal job be if, let's just say, monetary.
Money were no object.
If it were no object.
Yeah.
It's not the same exact question, but it's kind of the same question.
It's not. Well, my answer is twofold, and I'll explain. If
he would take over the world.
Yeah. if I can get the job, I would prefer to be the one telling the jokes. Writing is fine. I enjoy doing that. But if I strictly have a choice, actually being the performer would be more enjoyable to me. But if for whatever reason I can't get that job, if that's all full, then there is a job in, I think Norway. It might be Finland. It's a lighthouse that still operates manually. You have to turn it on at night and turn it off in the morning and make sure the bulb hasn't burned out. And having that job, if I can't like do live comedy would free me up to do whatever the fuck else I want in life while still making the money I need to survive.
So you're banking on one super weird Norwegian lighthouse job?
And then I'm pretty sure I could get it. I'm a shoo-in.
But that's like you're banking your whole career on that. You're like, if I can't get this job.
Sean, I'm pretty sure it's easier to get the one Norwegian lighthouse gig than it is to make a living as a comedian.
That's
probably true.
Might be true. That's so sad.
That's probably true.
Might be true.
It is so sad.
I guarantee you that you're more qualified than most of the people applying for that lighthouse job. Like, it's...
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure the only question is, if a light is on, would you know?
Oh, my God.
Whereas to be a professional comedian, it's just random chance. It's just totally right. 100% oh, so random chance.
That's right.
It's not even one chance, though. It's a series of chances that you just keep going until either, you know, your number comes up or you're dead. One of those.
Yeah, the sad part is that there may never have been a chance.
Yeah, for sure.
Because nobody that mattered was ever there.
Which I'd know if I read that book Jesus. That we talked about in episode 10.
You guys are so mean.
No, look, you're a joke writer. You know? You just write jokes, I mean, for money.
Mike, how old are you?
36 years old. That does deserve a bell. I'm gonna...
Joe, I love you. I was just like, hey, can I get Mike to say something so I don't get the bell?
Yeah, I heard what you were saying between the words, and I got you, boy. I got you.
So you admit that you're teaming up against me here to lose?
Yeah.
In that specific instance, for making us play that game that depressed us,
I know,
so much. Absolutely.
Did you guys not have fun playing that game? You didn't enjoy that game?
It's so depressing.
I think we're all incredibly depressed as a result of that game. And no, this episode's ending. We're stopping. Like all of this now.
It's just so depressing, Mike.
Thanks.
With that, this episode, shut up, Mike, you're a devil. With that, this episode ends in a tie with 2 points apiece. Tonight's losers are both Mike and Sean.
Yeah!
Oh, shit.
And with that, that's it for this week. I've been Joe Moracle. I've been Sean.
I'm Sean. Hey.
I'm Mike Pareto. Hello. Hey. Yeah. Hey.
It's Mike.
Yeah.
Mike Pareto.
It's me.
Mike, say goodbye. Say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye to the people.
No, say goodbye to them.
Say goodbye.
Have a good week, everyone. They're going to keep going, so just have a good week. You can hit stop
peace,
now.
Peace out. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye. Look out.
Get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper.
A Little Nonsense is copyright 2019 by its hosts. All ads are meant to be humorously fake. Any resemblance to a company, person, or other entity, real or imagined by someone else, is either entirely coincidental or purposeful parody. If you have a question, comment, or discussion topic, you can email us through the mail hole. That's mailhole@littlenonsense.com. You can find more episodes and anything else related to the show at littlenonsense.com. And now that the end of show business is concluded, I'll kindly ask, Sean, would you please take us out?
A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men. A little whimsy here or there is often very necessary.